Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. Y'all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that is the way we feel each and every week. Welcome to it, y'all. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Back at it again for another political week in review of Need to Know News, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Rocking out to Weezer all at the same time. So we're cool like that. We've got our very own website called thevocalminority.net. But as I always say, I don't know who goes to websites anymore. So find us on TikTok, find us on Reddit, we're on Facebook, Blue Sky. We have our own YouTube page. And then, of course, we hang out here at Really American Media.
Yeah. We thank the live audience for watching along. And, of course, well, Steve is the man with a plan. I mean, he comments along if he gets time. But we always love and appreciate your comments. We thank you for being part of the resistance. We need you now more than ever. And I mean that.
I had to change shirt right before we started today. I realized I was wearing the same shirt last week today.
Oh, that bothers you.
A little bit. I mean, not in the grand scheme of life, but Everything in the internet world is like thumbnails. I don't want this thumbnail to match that one, like if someone's doing the preview mode. So I decided to switch it up a little bit.
I like your sensitive side, dude. I like your fashion-forward attitude. So it's all part of the show. It's what you get when you tune in. Hey, should I mention? Yeah, I think I will. 844-48-VOCAL. That's our comment line. You can call and make a comment on the show, good or bad. And if it's good enough, we'll play it.
Preferably good. I don't know what else you could possibly say. Unless you're a maggot, then why are you watching this? And, yeah, you know, Nick and I were on the radio for 27 years and recently transitioned over to this side. So, yeah, Nick, the camera thing, that's a new thing. Never had to worry about what I dressed like before.
Hey, sometimes we don't have the luxury of thinking about fashion because we're so submerged in politics. And it's all for you. It's all for the folks that are going to listen along. And maybe, you know, I talk to people. I do. I'm a man of the people, for crying out loud. I know you wouldn't think it, but I talk to people. And I often hear, like, you know what? I have kind of set all of this crap that's going on right now is affecting my life. So I want to remain informed. So I tune in to your guys' podcast at the end of the week. So I kind of have an idea of what's going on. So that's kind of what this is for people who don't always pay attention to the news. Yeah, well, we will cater this for you.
That's fair. We're here to cover the stuff that you may not want to be sucked into on a daily basis, or we're here to, you know, recap the highlights of the week and we can all lament together. So as always, yeah. Plenty of news happening.
Yeah, let's get into a little Need to Know News, your political week in review.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Hey, Nick.
Hey. Good to hear from you.
Steve Harness.
Yeah, that's the other guy.
Yeah. Tracy wants to know what's up, Buttercup. She's listening live on YouTube. We are live right now. If you're listening Friday afternoon, you know, it's there. And what is up, Buttercup? It's us. And the Foundations. Ah, that's a Buttercup reference right there.
Wow, for the oldies fans out there. Steve, there's a lot to cover on the news, you little bastard. You know, when I was preparing for the show today, I was like, God, Epstein. Have we talked enough about Epstein? And the answer is no. I mean, that's the short answer. No, because we haven't got what we deserve quite yet. So we'll continue to talk a little bit about Epstein. I've got some updates on that. We'll get to further into the show. But please take the wheel, Stephen. If you have a great story you'd like to start the program off with, please be the driver.
All right. I will do that. I always struggle with this first story if I do the biggest story of the week or maybe the most recently shocking one. And this week, I'm starting with the most recently shocking one because news came out today that, first of all, I don't know, I hate to cheer Trump's failures, but I actually love to cheer Trump's failure. So we had new jobs numbers come out today. And listen, I want the economy in America to do well for a zillion reasons. It affects you and me directly. It affects people we care about. Parents retiring, people working hard out there like my teenage kids. Like, it affects everyone. But there's been a lot of talk of late that, hey, maybe this Trump, you know, tariff stuff, maybe it's not all that bad. Maybe it's not damaging that much stuff. And I feel like anyone thinking that is getting out over their skis. They're getting a little bit ahead because the tariffs freaked everyone out. He tacoed them, you know, he chickened out, and then and at one point, I think in the last month or so, Wall Street started getting used to it. They just assumed when he said, I'm putting 50% on them, that, yeah, he's just full of shit. So the economy started to ignore him, but now it is starting to catch up. So jobs numbers came out today, and they weren't good. You know, things are down or flat, and the numbers were supposed to be higher than they are. And, you know, this week, Powell, the Fed chair, announced that he's not going to reduce, you know, the interest rates because the effects of the tariffs are still coming in. And now we have jobs numbers that got revised down or were not as good as they thought they were going to be. And in a normal world, you take statistics for what they are.
You don't think automatically, oh, those are manipulated, you know. Yeah, you take them for what they are, right? We've been getting them from the same place for a long time. We've always been able to run off a certain set of numbers that we can trust. And it's only been as of late, in the past few years, that Trump has been saying, like, oh, those are fake numbers, putting doubt into a system that's worked well for a long time.
Right. And in fairness, even if there is some level of flaw in them, it's still a baseline. It's the same method we've been using forever. So everyone's had the same methodology. So even if it's off a little bit here and there, like, everyone's had it off a little bit here and there. But yeah, you're right. Trump has been bitching and moaning for years. Anytime they're bad numbers, that they're rigged. Anytime it's good, of course, they're spot on. And so, yeah, he went on his little social media thing today and was bitching and moaning about the new jobs numbers, saying that they're, you know, essentially rigged, that old mantra again. And now that he's in charge of things, he went ahead and just recently fired the person in charge of these statistics.
It's just COVID all over again, right? Like, if we stop taking tests, the numbers won't be so big. It's that same stuff. Like, why fire the person who puts out the numbers because you don't like them? Like, that's not the way things work in the real world.
Yeah, generally not, but this is what he's done. He's always claimed they're rigged when they're bad. And, yeah, they came out today, made him look bad, and so he just fired the person in charge of them, which now it becomes sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because now we can never trust whoever he's going to hire to now be in charge of these numbers. Can we possibly believe them ever? And I know other people will keep an eye on this, but come on.
Will somebody else keep an eye on him? Because as we're learning today, I don't know, Kamala has been making the rounds on some talk shows and stuff like that. And she's talking about the fact that, you know what, one of the things that she is finding so disheartening in this point in time is that all the stops, all the checks and balances that she thought would no doubt be there are not there. So will someone come out and say it? Who knows? I mean, everyone just seems to put this blindfold on and nods along with Trump. As far as on the Republican side, are there checks and balances? I mean, some are holding strong, but not all.
No, it's yet another guardrail gone. He fired the guy, and this reminds me, actually, earlier this week, Bill Maher made news because he came out and said that the Trump tariffs aren't as bad as we thought. I think we were all overreacting. And he's on the list of people that are clearly getting out over their skis and coming out ahead of time. And I'm pretty sure Bill Maher tapes every Friday night. I would be willing to predict that on tonight's show, he does some sort of mea culpa, some sort of oops, some sort of I spoke too soon. And, you know, I think it's just starting. And by the way, Nick is in Seattle. I hear the port of Seattle has been essentially empty of late because of the tariff threats, and imports are slowing way the hell down.
Completely, dude. I mean, and that's the way you got to look at this everywhere. like especially on the coastlines. Everything is being affected. All of this talk where people were like, oh, everything's going to work out okay. It's only a matter of time until we see stuff start to catch up. All of it's starting to fall. And it starts right here with these job numbers, dude, where this isn't why people voted for Trump. He was bringing back jobs. He was, you know, going to get the economy on track. Meanwhile, when Biden left office, the economy was doing great.
Yeah, in some ways, this kind of is what people voted for, you know, because they believe that these numbers are fake and fraudulent. So they may actually be in favor of, you know, firing the guy in charge of it. But all of this stuff is such baloney. It all has to catch up. Reality will catch up. The problem is, in Trump world, in his administration, they will keep denying the facts. So, like we keep saying, it is more important than ever that the media at large keeps watching these numbers because there are indicators outside the official numbers. And yeah, I don't know. I wonder how this will all continue to unfold. And at what point will he stop blaming Biden, for the love of God? When does it become his economy?
There's this new guy that I'm watching on TikTok, and he basically just watches all Trump's bullshit and then does a video that's usually like 4 to 5 minutes long. And he says, I watch this so you don't have to. And there's always a Biden count in there, which I think is fantastic. He's like, you know, in a 4 minute speech, he mentioned Biden 15 times. And it's always an astronomical number. You know, he still talks about Obama once in a while. So who knows? I don't think he'll ever give up on turning the other way and blaming who used to be here. But at some point in time, you would even think that the maggots would be like, hey, that was a long time ago, dude. Like, you got to let it go. Like, this is your train we're riding on.
Right. Yeah, time will tell. A couple of quick hellos on the YouTube channel here. Oregon chiming in, your neighbor up there. We got Marin County, California checking in here. So, you know. And a bunch of comments going on. So thanks to everyone watching live on YouTube right now. All right, that's about all I got on that story, unless you got anything else to add. So
I'm going to move on briefly here to Epstein. And this is a little bit different. I want to comment this. I don't feel like we talk about the victims enough. And oftentimes, like, we want people punished so bad that we forget some of the victims. And we'll just highlight one that was in the news this past week. Virginia Giuffre. She was the one woman who worked at Mar-a-Lago, and Jeffrey Epstein, apparently, in Trump's words, these are not mine, Jeffrey Epstein stole her. So let's look at this first video clip here that's been going around.
He took people, and because he took people, I said, don't do it anymore. You know, they work for me. And he took, beyond that, he took some others. And once he did that, that was the end of him. I didn't like when they steal people. I don't like it.
What did they do?
In the spa.
In the spa.
Yeah, people that work in the spa. I have a great spa, one of the best spas in the world at Mar-a-Lago. And people were taken out of the spa, hired by him. In other words, gone.
There's a whole bunch choice of words
with that entire thing right there.
Yeah. Tell me, what do you think they are? Like, what do you cling on to?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, when you're talking about human trafficking, you should never use the word stole or took. You should not refer to the person as if they're, grocery items or a stereo at Best Buy. Like, that's an interesting, I almost wonder if it's Freudian that he thought that way, that she was stolen, that she took, you know, that he took them. So that would be the first one. The second, from a legal standpoint, he's admitting that he knows one of the main victims in this whole thing. And I don't think he had ever acknowledged that before. And then the other big problem was his timeline's totally screwed right there. He said that that is what ended his relationship with Epstein, which would have been about 2002. But we all know he was buddies with Epstein until 2004, when a real estate deal is what actually blew them up.
Yeah. When you lie that often, it's hard to keep your story straight. And we've seen that with Trump all along. She did work at Mar-a-Lago. Some question why she was ever working there. She was a young girl at the time. But here's the thing. Do you know anything about Virginia? You know,
I was recruited at a very young age from Mar-a-Lago and entrapped in a world that I didn't understand. And I've been fighting that very world to this day. And I won't stop fighting. I will never be silenced. until these people are brought to justice.
Until they're brought to justice. I mean, she was a young girl and she did fight for a long time. Sadly, if you don't know, on June 21st of 2024, she died by suicide at her home in Colorado, and her death didn't make nearly the headlines that they would have if a billionaire like Epstein had killed himself. Her story, her allegations, she was discarded in more than one way, and she's one of many. And that's the real reason that we care about Epstein. Do we want to know that Trump was possibly on the list? Yeah, of course we do. But we want to know everyone who was on that list. And not only just to know, like, obviously we want them to be held accountable for what they did. And they did a lot of terrible, terrible stuff. And when Trump talks about her, the family came out, you know, a day after he made that comment that she had been stolen. And they said the same thing, basically, like the fact that you treat her like a shoelace, like something that is just stolen and discarded, is just so sickening to the family. And it should be sickening to all of us. I'll tell you what, Steve, I think it's important in times like this, though, to talk to an expert. You know, like, we're two middle-aged white guys who have never experienced human trafficking. We're not women. So I think it's good to hear from an expert on how not only Virginia felt, but how some of these other victims might feel and what they want.
If any of you cared about the victims, you wouldn't drag these women who are in childbearing years now, some of them having children, back into the limelight, back into the same story to expose them again to this hideous outcome because they could be doing it to somebody else. They want
them. How do you know that? What are you basing
that on? I know with
on?
Certainty they'd rather
You've
live out their
the
lives than keep
to
being
say
brought
they don't
back
want justice
talking
brought
about Epstein. You really think they want that now?
You're speaking on behalf of women saying that you've personally spoken to victims who said they do not want justice.
I have spoken to no one. I'm just being pragmatic.
Okay, so then that is a irresponsible statement. You have no idea what these young women want.
Don't you think if it was you, you'd rather get on with your life? Aren't you
no,
done
if
with
it
this?
Were me, I would want justice pursued.
Here's
what
should
be.
Money? What do you want?
Here's who should get on with his life.
The truth is out. There's a prisoner and there's a dead guy. That's the truth. All right?
And that's the only truth that exists.
It's beyond foul. I mean, this is, he's a Shark Tank guy. What does he have any business even on this panel talking about this? I have no idea. But, I mean, can you believe how much empathy he lacks? And I mean, talk about mansplaining. Okay, like, I know for certain. Have you talked to any of them? No, but I'm being pragmatic. They don't want it. There's a woman sitting across from you who possibly could have experienced SA on some level sometime in her life. I mean, the odds are pretty good, telling you, no, that's not what I would want. And he still doesn't listen. I mean, it's just pretty sickening to hear, right?
Yeah, no, I had actually not seen that clip. That's Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank promoting a new product for oversized, unnecessary balls that he apparently has found somewhere. Yes. Because where does he get off assuming that he can relate to what these victims are going through? And to go out on national TV and just say these women want it to be done. I mean, Virginia's family has come out saying that, no, she wanted all this stuff to come out and be public. And anyone who has been part of this is obviously fighting for justice, truth and justice and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's some mansplaining to the umpteenth degree to presume that he can speak on behalf of these victims.
Yeah. I mean, it's a venture capitalist who's from Canada, no doubt. I mean, he's Canadian. What are you even in the conversation for on CNN? Oh. I don't understand. But
deport him.
Yeah, get him out of here. Deport him. Where's his papers? Listen, you know what? Some might even say Virginia fought to the death. I mean, it's a terrible but a true way to look at it. I mean, she fought until she couldn't fight anymore for justice, for accountability, and did her in. So, yeah, it's up to everybody to pick up the torch and make sure that the people who did this to her are held accountable. So screw you, Kevin O'Leary. You're a piece of crap. And yeah, I don't know that I'll ever watch Shark Tank again. How about that?
Booyah. Well, don't take it out on Mark Cuban, but why so many suicides in the story? I mean, I'm not trying to go all conspiracy theory here, but, obviously Epstein, this victim, I mean, on one level, I could see that this is a terrible story and people, you know, may drive them to that. But it does start to get the wheels turning. Is all of this legitimate? Which also brings me to the video, too. The update on that.
Oh, okay. You got an update for us?
Yeah. So I think it was a couple of weeks ago we were talking here about the fact that the video that got released and was claimed to be raw footage, that we found out through the metadata that it was not raw footage. It was edited from two different videos. It was a screenshot because of what, there's times where you can see a mouse go across the screen.
Right.
There's times where the editing toolbar is up there. It was saved repeatedly, and it was missing a minute that Pam Bondi said, you know, in front of the whole world that, oh, the security system is always missing a minute.
Yeah.
Well, we found out this week that that's total bullshit. That, first of all, probably no prison video system on the planet is missing anything anywhere. But that prison is not. The footage exists where there is no missing minute. But also, this mystery, the orange object, did you see that update?
Yes.
Yeah, so there is somebody wearing orange or carrying an orange thing, you know, which is what all the prisoners there wore, going up the stairs towards Epstein's prison. And I also didn't know, by the way, in that famous video now, those like two prison doors you see right there, neither of those are Epstein's cell. His is around the way. So we know that somebody, whether they were wearing orange or carrying orange, went up the staircase in that, not the minute gap, but it's just like that. I think it was like the 10 minutes leading up to that. So we had never seen any sort of human going up there. So we know the video was just complete bullshit that they released, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Had to be, right? I mean, what kind of prison, what kind of maximum security prison would be like, oh, yeah, just 1 minute off every night. That's fine. Like, that won't get us in any legal trouble or, you know, that's fine. Like, of course we knew it was bullshit. And yeah, it is. We now we're seeing that somebody went up there. And when you go up to where that person went, it's a dead end. I mean, there's cells up there, but it's not like there's a hallway that you could get to some other place. So, yeah, it's a little weird.
That was funny. It's a dead end up there. Very clever.
Dead end, yeah. Rim shot. I wish I had my rim shot ready for it.
As long as we're talking about the victims real quick, I just want to put this out there because I've had a few women point this out to me because I've done it. I'm a victim of it, too, and I'm trying to get better. A lot of people refer to the victims as underaged women. They're not underaged women. They're either underage teenagers or they're just children.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not – it paints a weird picture when you say underaged women. Because it makes it seem like they're adults that maybe are allowed. But no, they were children, okay? We're talking about children.
100%. And especially like when we're talking about Virginia. I mean, I think when she started at Mar-a-Lago, I think she was 16, you know. You just think about the fact that like a 16-year-old, first job. Okay, well, you have a 16-year-old daughter, Steve, that started first job. Can you imagine when they got to their first job that someone with a lot of financial backing and a lot of power in the way people treated him and everything else was like, yeah, it could take you a long way, dude. You know, like this was full-on grooming from the beginning, and Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, helped out with this grooming. That's why she's in prison. Although she was transferred to minimum security prison in Texas today.
Yes. So. And then that's another interesting update right there, too. What the hell is up with that? If anyone hasn't heard this, she was quietly transferred from a normal, not so fun prison to, yeah, a minimum security, you know, and then one of those kind of white collar pseudo spa retreat sorts of prison. Not only is it lower security, but it's in Texas where a lot of her family lives.
Right.
So why all of a sudden, after just speaking to Trump's Department of Justice, is she getting preferential treatment like this?
I don't know. And I also had the thought, oh, she's at a minimum security. Is she going to end up dead? You know, are we going to see that she ended up dead? So she doesn't come out and testifies some of the things that she knows. I mean, this is all just so freaking messy. Like, I'm pretty sure I mean, I would bet my house on it. The DOJ, technically, if they were forwarded all of the information that is available, that they have a case, dude, that they have a huge case. Like, it's all there. It's being hidden, and it's being pushed down by people with power. And, yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, we got to keep vocal about it because people are getting tired of talking about it, tired of hearing his name, tired of it going nowhere. But, yeah, for the victims in all of this, we got to keep vocal.
Indeed we do. All right, let's make a prediction. I predict that this is going to go to the Supreme Court. We already know that Maxwell has, to petition the Supreme Court, see if they'll take up her case to try to have her conviction overturned. I don't think the Supreme Court, as much as they're in Trump's back pocket, will be dumb enough or skeezy enough to let a convicted child sex trafficker off the hook, at which point I do think Trump will find a reason, an excuse, blame it on Obama or Biden, and he will pardon her.
I agree with that. I think it's coming. I mean, he's already made comment on it of like, will I don't know. You know, I haven't thought about it. You haven't thought about it? Are you kidding me? And he always says, but could I? Of course I could. I have that power. You know, I could do that. So, yeah, I think it's going to happen at some point in time. And that puts an end to it, right? Technically.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. So, yeah, he does keep saying that. I've thought about it. I could do it. What a normal person would say is, I thought about it. I could do it. But, of course, I never would.
Yes. Wouldn't pardon a child sex trafficker. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. No, of course not. Right. What a stupid question.
Yep. All right. Let's move on down the line here. The other fun story that came out this week that's just riddled with problems. Nick, were you aware that we need a ballroom at the White House?
And I wasn't, but if anyone could do it, it'd be the best builder ever lived, you know, in the White House. Golly, dude.
Did you hear Trump complaining? Like, the when we have big events, we have to do it in a tent. It's like 100 yards away. And if it rains, I got to slosh out there. Like, oh, poor Trump and poor presidents. You have to have a big party in a tent. Because the 200-seater thing that's already in the White House, that's not enough for everything. So I didn't know how abused our presidents were that they need a ballroom.
So much as though that I think, I mean, he's made the statement that he's going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for this ballroom, dude, that we're putting up, and it won't ruin the integrity of the building at all. I find that very hard to believe. And it's just crazy. He also talked about, I heard him saying, like, I wanted to do it during my first term. You know, I had plans to do it, but I was under attack, under siege, so I never got around to it.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, as far as him paying for it, for a $200 million renovation, that'll, I'm sure, go over budget, as everything does. But first of all, he says that he paid for the flagpoles at the White House that was a grand total of $100,000. We have yet to see any receipts, any proof whatsoever ever that he paid for those stupid flagpoles. So I will fall over backwards if they show receipts that he chipped in, what, $50 million, $100 million? How much does, you know, bullshit that he's going to pay for any of it. He'll say it, but will he do it?
But will we ever see proof of that? He said, you know why I'm going to pay for it? Because it's the people's house and it's going to be a legacy ballroom. Like, can you imagine the legacy I'll bring, you know, by putting up a new ballroom? Like, if I was the next president after him, I'd have that damn thing demolished. You know, like, right. Forget Sage. I want it demolished. I want it out of here.
Yeah, I would unpave the Rose Garden that he has now paved over. I'd put that back to what it used to be. The flagpoles, I mean, whatever, man. Do we have some question as to what country the White House represents? Are the flags that are there already not enough? So I don't know about those giant flagpoles. But, yes, this ballroom. I would have my first cotillion, and then I would get rid of the freaking ballroom. Not Unreal. To mention it's going to be coated in gold shit.
Oh, it's going to be spray painted gold, you know, like none of that shit is real. And yes, it's going to be tacky. And just why do we need a ballroom there, dude? Even if you're paying for it, spending the time to manage that project of building a ballroom in a historic building like that, like, don't you have important shit to get to?
Right. No, he's the interior designer in chief. And, of course, the funny part is that the East Wing is where the First Lady has her offices. So the funny headline is that Trump kicked his wife out of the White House so he could build a ballroom. But the real headline is she was I've spent more time at the White House in the past 6 months than she has. I mean, that fake marriage, like his fake tan, is baloney. So it's funny that it displaces Melania. And they're completely saying this thing will probably take the rest of its term. So it's not going to be a quick turnaround.
Yeah, so why do it again? You're never going to get to use it. I mean, maybe that's another precursor to maybe I'll run for a third term. You know, like I don't think that he would build something that he wasn't going to get to take advantage of. He's not Mr. Nice Guy building a park for the kids, you know.
No, he'll find some way to engrave his name in some way we can't possibly remove or something. And speaking of things he won't be able to take with him, it turns out that he is going to take this new plane, the free plane that he got. But we also found out, maybe it was even last week, that the Pentagon, somehow $939 million just went missing, like they transferred it from one account to another. And all of the sleuths are saying that's the money to pay for the renovation of this plane that is nowhere near free, that Trump will get to keep with them. They actually just passed the little resolution saying that, yeah, you can keep it. It's all yours.
Dude, that is unbelievable. If that simple thing in everything that we've seen so far doesn't just infuriate you, like, that's crazy, dude, that he would be allowed to keep that and spend all, I mean, that's $1 billion. Might as well call it $1 billion.
Yes. So, no, exactly. Yeah,
it's crazy.
And whoever these other donors are that are going to help pay for this ballroom renovation, like, what freaking strings are attached to that? What dark money? Is this Russian oligarchs are going to help pay for this thing? Like,
right.
Who are we doing favors for, forking over that kind of money? Or is it just going to be branded the Chase Manhattan ballroom at the White House or something?
Completely. I would not doubt it for a second, dude, if it was like Lumen Ballroom, you know. Progressive ballroom.
Through the homeless vets, we got a new ballroom coming.
Yeah, we need it. Hey, you want to talk about something that will, it's important. You want to talk about something that'll make you cry or make you laugh? You choose. Choose your own adventure.
Oh, this seems like a challenge. Let's go for crying. That'll get us some views if I start weeping here. So.
Okay. This is enough to make a grown man, a grown woman, just a grown person cry. Let's talk about starvation happening in Gaza right now, shall we?
Because fake news.
Not enough people seem to be talking about the real deal. And yes, you hear people saying, oh, fake news. That's all done by Hamas. United Nations has warned us of a famine. Aid trucks are backing up right now at the borders. Warehouses full of food sit untouched while more than 500,000 people face catastrophic hunger. And the reason? Well, food isn't being let in. I don't know how that has anything to do with Hamas, but let's jump into this a little deeper, okay? Netanyahu, who Trump seems to be buddy-buddy with, right? This is kind of the contrast in how they're seeing the starvation that's taking place in Gaza right now.
There is no policy of starvation in Gaza, and there is no starvation in Gaza.
Some of those kids are, that's real starvation stuff. I see it. And you can't fake that. We're going to set up food centers, and we're going to do it in conjunction with some very good people, and we're going to supply funds where the people can walk in, and no boundaries. We're not going to have fences.
Israel is presented as though we are applying a campaign of starvation in Gaza. What a bold-faced lie.
We know that that's not a bold-faced lie, right?
Right. First of all, I believe Netanyahu. I'm sure there's not an official policy on starvation in Gaza, but is it happening based on every video picture and independent, aid organization going in that place? Yes, it's happening. And I also love that Trump said you can't fake that. There's one thing on the list for Trump that apparently you cannot fake.
And it's being hungry. You can't fake being hungry, Steve. You know that better than anyone. Okay, let's keep going down this trail of all the commentary on the starvation in Gaza. Well, let's talk about something important. And that is, my friends, when Trump does something, you owe him thanks and praise. It's kind of like Lord our God, you know, thanks and praise.
Well, you know, we gave $60 million 2 weeks ago, and nobody even acknowledged it for food. Man. And it's terrible. You know, you really at least want to have somebody say thank you. No other country gave anything.
Wow.
We gave $60 million 2 weeks ago for food for Gaza. And
no thank you, no.
Nobody acknowledged it. Nobody talks about it.
Uh-uh.
And it makes you feel a little bad when you do that and, you know, you have other countries not giving anything. None of the European countries, by the way, gave. I mean, nobody gave but us. And nobody said, gee, thank you very much. It would be nice to have at least a thank you. And I took a lot of heat. You know, when I do that, a lot of people aren't happy about that because they say, well, why are we doing it and nobody else? But I think we had a humanitarian reason for doing it.
Oh, that's the first time I've ever heard him talk about a humanitarian reason to do anything. But please, dude, if I'm going to give starving children, men and women, food, I want a little thank you. First of all, sir, I use that term loosely. This is not coming out of your purse strings, dude. This is called just doing the right thing. And we are the United States of America. Are we the most powerful country in the world? Well, you always talk about it. So, yeah, we should be going in there and saying, you know what? We're not going to stand for babies, children, women, men starving for food. We're not going to stand by war crimes. Yeah, we're going to get food into these people. But to ask for a thank you, I mean, it shows a little more than you're probably doing it for the wrong reason. You know,
it is mind blowing. I mean, first of all, Trump does consider everything to be his money from America, you know, whatever it is. He thinks the purse strings equal him. And that takes some gigantic balls. He must have been shopping at Kevin O'Leary's new company to somehow turn a humanitarian crisis of children starving into a story about yourself. Where, like, well, you know, there's children starving, but I didn't get a thank you note from any of these kids. I thought when I gave the price of a cup of coffee every month, I at least get a letter from one of these little snobs. Like,
what? Yes.
He reminds me of my pissed off, bitter old grandparents. Like, I didn't get a thank you note in time, and it better be handwritten. Don't just text me.
Completely, dude. I mean, yeah, it just shows you he's doing it for all the wrong reasons. He did that with Zelensky. Like, you haven't even said thank you. Like, I'm fighting a freaking war, dude. You were talking about thank yous, but, you know, Trump likes to hear thank you. But there's a lot of people in this country, in this world, that think a lot more of Trump than you and I and all the folks at Really American
do. Well, past time that President Trump was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, God.
I know the topic of Israel is on everyone's mind. I have an update from Special Envoy Steve Witkoff, who I got off the phone with this morning. Special Envoy Witkoff and Ambassador Huckabee had a very productive meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu and other officials today in Israel on the topic of delivering much-needed food and aid to Gaza. President Trump is a humanitarian with a big heart, and that's why he sent Special Envoy Witkoff to the region in an effort to save lives and end this crisis. Tomorrow, Special Envoy Witkoff and Ambassador Huckabee will be traveling into Gaza to inspect the current distribution sites and secure a plan to deliver more food and meet with local Gazans to hear firsthand about this dire situation on the ground.
Tell us how hungry you are. Where do we even begin with this? First of all, they met with Netanyahu. I thought this was being held by Hamas, and Netanyahu had nothing to do with it. Why are they not meeting with Hamas?
No, I have no idea. This repeated solicitation of a Nobel Peace Prize is so transparent and pathetic. And again, you're supposed to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, not because you're trying to rally support for you to get a prize that your little micro penis is all upset about because Obama got one and you didn't. And by the way, like, I don't think they take kindly to you begging for one. Certainly Obama never did. And also, they may not want to associate with a convicted felon who has been doing all sorts of shady shenanigans, breaking laws and deporting children and everything else. So maybe doing one little dumb thing that you think is so big and noble is not enough to outweigh all of your cons.
But Steve, he has a big heart. He's a humanitarian with a big heart.
I think that's where all the bruising and stuff from. He's got heart issues, that's for sure. So,
yeah.
But it's not the having too big of a heart, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah. It is so pathetic. Yeah.
Mike Huckabee came out and gave a little statement and said basically, like, this isn't Israel. You know, we've confirmed that. Have you? Have you really? I don't know why you're spending any time talking with Netanyahu. When Nick and Steve and the Vocal Minority and the fan base, the viewers of Really American, start to agree with Hobbit Foot Marjorie Taylor Greene, something in the universe has gone awry.
And Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has said that what is occurring there is a genocide. Do you agree?
Oh, it's terrible what's occurring. It's a terrible thing. Yeah. People are very hungry. You know, the United States gave $60 million for food. And
some Big Macs.
It's a shame because I don't see the results of it. And we gave it to people that in theory are watching over it fairly closely. Mm. We wanted Israel to watch over it. Part of the problem is Hamas is taking the money and they're taking the food. But we gave $60 million a couple of weeks ago. Nobody said anything about it. Nobody said thank you. But I didn't need the thank you. I just wanted the people to get fed. And we're helping out financially with that situation. It's a terrible situation.
You seem to be mentioning the thank you a lot for not needing it, you know.
No one said thank you. Not that I need a thank you, but it'd be nice to get a thank you.
Yeah.
What did you Venmo Hamas the $60 million? Like, I don't think they got the money. Part of what is happening is they're intercepting some of these airdrops.
Right.
Then they're stealing the food and reselling it to people. I mean, it's not like we're just handing it directly over to them. But, yeah, stop begging for thank yous, you freaking narcissist.
Yeah, that is not Nobel Peace Prize worthy. You'll also notice in that clip that when he's talking about the food, all the food we sent over, we've sent a ton. I'm not seeing results. Did you think that you were just going to start seeing people gain weight? And like, what do you mean you haven't seen the results? Like, people are still starving, dude. And you're all powerful. Why is it now that he's like, I don't know, it's got into the wrong hands of the wrong people. We sent it to good people. I don't believe any of that. And you're either powerful, you can do anything in 24 hours, or you can't. And you've showed us time and time again, you can't. So,
no, I agree. I don't think he can. To him, if it's not, you know, McDonald's, it's probably not. He's used to eating crap like that and just seeing everyone get fat around him. So I assume that's what he's waiting for. Pictures of fat little Gazan kids running around. Then he'll feel better.
It's very sad. You can't fake hungry. You can't.
Speaking of faking things, you know, we keep talking about the fact that Trump is trying to rewrite history in so many ways. I mean, mainly over, you know, election lies or Obama conspiracies, et cetera, et cetera. Well, today, I don't know that I've seen a more overt attempt to rewrite history than what happened.
Oh.
The American History Museum removes Trump's name from the impeachment exhibit. The Smithsonian's Institute, the National Museum of American History, has removed the explicit reference to President Donald Trump from an exhibit about presidential impeachment. And why did they do it? Because the Trump White House pressured them to do it. That's what they're worried about.
It's unbelievable, dude. The maggots are always talking about, oh, let's not rewrite history. It's again, the hypocrisy of only doing it when it benefits you. You think about changing the name of army bases and stuff like that. Like, all of those name changes will also be recorded in the history books. So we're not whitewashing history. We're progressing. We're doing better, but we're not getting rid of history. That's purely getting rid of history. How many times has he been impeached, Steve?
Twice. Never thrown out, of course, but twice impeached, which is a record. You'd think he'd be proud of it. He's number one on some list. Most impeachments of any president in history. And, you know, there may have been an era in the history of humans where if the king took something off the record, like, it just faded away over time. But you know, given how much coverage that got and the fact that we have an internet and whatnot, like, you can't just erase that. So what a dumb gesture to even try to make. Like, why would you make yourself look so petty and stupid for something that ultimately means nothing? You think people are showing up at that museum and have never heard of you? They don't know you've been impeached twice?
Yeah, that he's just that out of touch. It's like him getting rid of the portrait he didn't like at some random Colorado courthouse. You know what I mean? Like, get rid of the picture.
Yeah, no, spot on. So, and by the way, on that same topic, like, people, stop kowtowing to him. Stop giving in to him. I don't care if you're Paramount or Harvard, Brown University. I don't care if you're sports leagues or if you're a frickin' Smithsonian Museum. Stop giving in to this man. I don't know where all of this chicken shittery is coming from in this country.
I always think to myself, like, if you ever had the opportunity to have a face-to-face with him, would he scare you into submission in any way? Fuck no, dude. I mean, I would tell him exactly what I thought and what he needed to hear. And, you know, I guess there'd be repercussions because we don't have dissent. We don't have exactly free speech anymore. So, but I would still do it. I don't know why people kowtow to him like they do.
I assume it's finances, you know, like some frivolous lawsuit. A lot of big companies are like, screw it, pay the person $1 million. I just want to be done with this. And I feel like there's a lot of that going on. But you're setting a terrible precedent. And any of these companies, Paramount or whatever, like, we would all rally behind you if you stood up and did the right thing. Instead, screw Paramount Plus. I'll never finish the King of Brooklyn or whatever the Jeremy Renner show. It's like I canceled my subscription. So any of those shows I didn't finish, I'm done. Yep. The Mayor of Kingstown, that's what it is.
Yeah, I canceled mine too. And hopefully, you know, we'll speak in volumes that way. But if you just did the right thing, you know how many people would get on that bandwagon?
Yep, sad but true. So there's the latest, removing himself from a museum. And again, somebody put man hours into that effort. So time and money are money, very, very well spent.
I just keep wondering, like, with all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world, how do you have time for any of this? I don't understand it, but who knows? Let's move into, you talked about a little bit with sports and the president. If there's one thing that President Trump, like, truly understands on a cellular level, it's sports. I mean, he's an athlete, dude, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a man.
Nutrition, fitness, you know, he knows about it all. Okay. I mean, he is a Greek god. He's 6'3 and 185 pounds and the healthiest president to ever be president in the United States. So why wouldn't a guy like that be a big sports buff? This is a great clip you should listen to because important things are being discussed in this clip right here.
Sports fans have been very supportive. If you go back to the original names of Cleveland Indians, the Washington Redskins.
Oh, I love that. Love the sound of that. Well, I do the Washington Redskins. I think they should do it. I told the mayor and I told people that they should bring back the name. If they bring back the name, you'll have a lot of excitement. And, I mean, Cleveland Indians, how about that? That was an original franchise. 1903 or something, 1906, an original, the Cleveland Indians. And what do? They change the name from Indians. What's wrong with the word Indian? You know who is upset about it? The Indians are upset about it. Oh, they're upset about God. Redskins, too. Yeah.
That's appropriate.
Well, those Indians, they're so upset about it.
I don't know why.
Is he talking about people in, like, New Delhi? Because that's where Indians are.
I mean, it's just insane, dude, to think, like, I don't know. You know who's upset about the N-word? Black people. You know, they're the only ones upset about this N-word thing. Like, of course, dude, that's who it's against. Like, come on, dude, get a grip with yourself. I don't know why this is still a conversation, but he does know more about sports than anyone else. I mean, you did a great video for Really American that seems to be plugging away about him cheating at golf. Some say he cheats, some say he doesn't, but it's pretty obvious he does, right?
Well, he cheats on his wife, he cheats on the golf course, he cheats on his taxes. he cheats in elections. I mean, he cheats and cheats and cheats. And yeah, I mean, first of all, I love the comment that he was like, you know, people cheered when we talk about going to these old names. I was at a rally the other day and everyone was cheering for racism.
Yeah.
They had these funny little white hats on with little holes cut in it. And everyone was just so excited. Who wants to go backwards to racist names? And why would he say the Indians? Like, God, get the freaking memo already. They are not Indians. That was a dumb mistake made 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And yes, this whole freaking trip to Scotland, how insulting to all of us. Never forget that Jimmy Carter sold his stupid little peanut farm because that was going to be inappropriate for a president to have a family farm.
Yeah.
Whereas Trump is just making money hand over fist, and he's doing it in broad daylight. No one seems to care. $10 million to go to his golf course in Scotland and have a glorified photo op out there with people playing the bagpipes while he's swinging his little
stick.
It's
how he made all his money in his first term.
He never used to be a billionaire. He always claimed he was, but now he actually is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's compliments of just the office of being the president. I mean, he's making more money now than ever before. And I hate it when you clucks say, oh, he doesn't take a salary. Like, oh, he takes a salary. Believe that. Have you heard about this new health initiative, Steve? Because Michelle Obama wanted to get rid of obesity for children. She had some strong health initiatives. Hillary Clinton was involved in some great programs. But now the Trump administration is picking up a new health initiative, yep. And they have put together an all-star team to make sure that kids grow up healthy, dude. I'll play you a few clips. This is the first one kind of talking about what the team is going to do to make sure that kids in America remain healthy and grow up with good food and exercise.
Great athletes have asked to join the council, and we're going to let some of them come in, but they're going to also be working on college football in terms of what happened. It's a mess. What happened?
What happened?
It's
who knows
what they're doing with college football, and the fans are upset about it.
What?
And players are being taken from team after team and being traded around like playing cards. And a lot of money's passing and nobody knows what's happening. So people behind me are going to be very much involved in figuring that whole thing out and working on it and trying to bring some sanity to that incredible, not only the football, college sports, very, very bad for women. It's very bad what's happening. Because now all of a sudden there's no women that are
in college football
able to get the money that they're talking about. You know, it seems to be going
what
mostly
are you
to
talking
football,
about?
Some basketball, and women's sports are being totally decimated. We know that, Annika. You know, with this, it's all going into football and some to basketball, and everything else is being left behind. And women are being left behind, and lesser sports are being left behind, and the Olympics is being decimated because that was like training for the Olympics, and now we're not going to have that. Many of those sports left. The smaller sports, they're almost going to be completely wiped out. This is crazy what's going on. We banned men from competing in women's sports, and last week the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee announced that they will be complying with that order.
They've always complied with that, dude. I mean, they didn't have to comply because it wasn't an executive order before that. But, like, what the hell are you talking about in that rambling? And, I mean, his team that was standing behind him was just looking confused. Like, was this a good idea, dude?
As always, I feel like they just sort of wind him up and put him up there.
Yeah. I'm going to move forward and talk to you a little bit about some of the players in this new health initiative, some of the people that are on the team, for crying out loud. We'll start with this bad boy.
14-time WWE world champion, and he's a man who you're not going to mess around with. Even Bryson said, I think I'll take a pass on him, right? You're going to take. And he's another one that's been my friend for a long time. He's really an amazing athlete, Triple H. Triple H, Here he is.
He's standing right in front of you, dude.
He's a strong guy. It's great to have you. And you felt very strongly about this.
Are you Hulk Hogan? Is that who those?
Like, are you standing right in front of him, dude? He's a good friend of mine, a really good friend of mine. I don't recognize him as he stands 3 feet away from me. But, yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
He has no idea who he is. He literally couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Triple H, you're a big Triple H fan. I mean, I know Trump did some things with WWF at the time, but yeah, he doesn't know who Triple H is. But he's on his health initiative, and he went on to kiss his butt and say, you know, I'm here. This is the chef's kiss, dude. Let me play this clip for you, and we'll discuss it after it completes. This is
proud to be on this. On this team, is I don't know why, I don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve you. Okay, so I'm gonna do the best I can for as long as I can. Thank you very much.
I don't know why I'm here,
dude. What is that?
That was a moment of honesty. I don't think any of those guys knew why they were there. So at least he stepped up and admitted he doesn't know why he's there. But yeah, isn't that guy some form of a sex offender?
Oh, yeah, dude. Lawrence Taylor, Hall of Fame linebacker, convicted sex offender, now standing on the stage for a government-backed fitness program for kids. A man who legally can't be within 500 feet of a school is now advising the president of the United States on youth fitness. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hilarious that Trump is bringing back the presidential fitness test or whatever the hell it is. I mean, I hope that test is how many Big Macs and cheeseburgers you can wolf down with a Diet Coke in 3 minutes. So, otherwise,
yeah,
talking about hypocrisy.
It's pretty crazy, dude, this carnival of a cabinet. So, yeah, that's what happened this week in my world. I picked a couple out there. You picked a few. And, yeah, that's kind of our weekend political update here, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for hanging.
And just real quick, I mean, it's funny that he brought a sex offender on there and made all of those assertions. What do you think about this whole Sean Connery thing? And, yeah, I did a story on it. The fact that Trump essentially said that, you know, oh, Sean Connery, he's a real tough guy. I'm sure you saw that Barbara Walters interview. He's a real tough guy. He's saying that Connery was a tough guy because Connery endorsed smacking women when they want the last word in an argument.
Let's not get out of line here, Steve. He said it's okay to smack women when they get out of line. I mean, it's for a reason, for crying out loud. Jeez, dude.
Right. He did say open hand only, not close fist. So, you know, double O wife beaters got some standards. And I'm glad that he and Trump could bond over that. So,
yeah, you got to take your wins when you can get them. And, the rest of that story, the fact that he lied about Sean Connery and it was easily provable, endorsing his golf club was fantastic. That was a great story you put together. So, yeah, he's no stranger to lying. He lies to us all the time. So.
No, he's not afraid to lie on behalf of a dead guy because he knows that Connery can't refute the story. So, yeah. That is where we're at. And that, I believe, will wrap up another Week in Review show. So there's a lot of comments going on YouTube. I can't keep track of them all, but I appreciate everyone chiming in there. And we'll do it again next week.
Thanks for joining the program. We do it every Friday, 3:30. Western time is when we usually kick the show off. So your Week in Review right here with Nick and Steve and the Vocal Minority.
Go to thevocalminority.net. Find our social medias on Blue Sky, on Instagram, on Facebook, on everything but Truth Social or X. And, of course, right here on Really American Media.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.
Indeed.